be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
How many got good things going on in your life right now? Let's hear that again. How many got great things going on in your life right now? Yeah. Well, you got good things going on in your life right now. We might just have to help you find where they are. Tell somebody, say, good things are going on,
good things are going on.
In your life. You just probably don't know where to find those things that are going on. There's something going on. God is celebrating your life right now. And can't you go to your own party? God's excited about your life right now. There's something great going on right now on the inside, and he's celebrating because he calls those things as not as though they are, and he's already celebrating. How many times we miss out on our own party?
Turn to Hebrews chapter 3.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. Who's writing this to us? Paul's writing, isn't he? How many believe that the Bible is supernatural? That's an extremely powerful book. It's a real book. It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. I was reading it this morning, and you just read it, and things happen when you read the Word of God. And I just thought in my head and my heart, and I go, wow, this is a powerful book. This is a powerful book. Hold your Bible up. You might not know this yet. That is a powerful book that you've got in your hand. That is a supernatural book, a powerful book. And I was reading that book this morning, and that book will do some strange things. Won't that book do strange things? How strange things do you think that book will do? Check this out. You jump over, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick and powerful. Need to get a revelation in your spirit right now that the Word of God, that this book is powerful. There is something powerful about this book, that it has the ability to do something. The book in and of itself, just the written Word and the Logos, the revealed Word of God, there is power in this book. And you've got to learn how to work that power that's in the book. I hate to use the word magical, but some of us in today's society, we can understand that word. This is a magic book. Did you know that? How many times you read this book, you'll read one sentence in one paragraph, and every time you go back to it, you get something more. Now, if you read Charles Dickens, you read the story, it's the same story every time. It's not going to change. And you're not going to get any more out of it unless you really dance. But there's something about the Word of God that every time you go to it, every time you read it, there's something more coming out of it. To me, that's powerful. Yes. That means that book will do some wild and some strange things. It'll talk to you. You ever had a book talk to you? How many books you had, some people say they just get a book and they just plop it open and they look into the book and it's got exactly what they need to hear, when they need to hear it, and how they need to hear it. To me, that's powerful. How many of you just threw a phone book down because you were looking for a number and the right number came up? Never once. But how many of you been in need? How many of you been in need and been in a circumstance you need to hear something, and then something happens more times than not? You open up and there it is for you. Just what you need to hear, when you need to hear it, how you need to hear it.
Amen.
Powerful book. That's a powerful book. You better watch out. It'll do some things. It'll do some things. I've never known a book that you can live by. I've never known a book that'll bring you money when you're broke. I've never known a book that will calm and soothe you every time when you're distressed. I've never known a book that there's not one lie or contradiction in it. I've never known a book that had so many prophecies come to pass. Why is it the number one seller? Because it's a powerful book. That's a revy for you. Some of you probably haven't got it yet. Some of you thinking I'm talking religiously. Oh, the word of God is powerful. And they say that religiously. No, I'm telling you the truth. The book is powerful. I got that in my spirit this morning. The book has power. The book will do some wild stuff. And there's a whole lot of stuff in that book that you got to, it's so powerful that the Holy Ghost has got to come on you so that you can understand it, so he can bring the power out of that book. Activate the power. See, it's the Holy Ghost that gives you supernatural enlightenment, that it will activate the power in the book to come to you. What do you think the spirit of revelation is? That's what? The power of the book speaking back to you by the Holy Ghost. So don't just think it's a storybook. You can't. They say, look, the book is so powerful you can't even conceive it. Don't even try to read it in your own understanding, and you're going to get the wrong thing. But when you read it by the Holy Ghost, there's something powerful about it. There's more there than what you can see. It's a powerful book. Ask God to reveal that to you. And Moses, now I'm just reading you a story. Now this is one guy that's sitting here writing a letter, and this happens several times in Scripture. And so many times things pass us by. And we just miss stuff all the time. And here's the book of Hebrews. And you're sitting here in the book of Hebrews. And Paul is writing a letter. And you know, anybody ever heard of prophetic preaching? What's prophetic preaching? Somebody's preaching, then all of a sudden, what happens? The Holy Ghost takes over. And it's just God doing the teaching, doing the preaching, doing the talking. It's God. Something interrupts. You know that it happens in Scripture? All the time. Let's read this letter and see what happens. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. I was reading this thing and all of a sudden there was an interruption right there. You might have missed that. Did you know that's an interruption? Did you know Paul stopped speaking for a moment and somebody else started to talk to you? It says, as the Holy Ghost is saying, so the Holy Ghost is talking. In the book of Hebrews, the Holy Ghost is going to take you back to the wilderness experience in this couple verses from his perspective. Holy Ghost hardly ever speaks of himself. The Bible says he doesn't. But in these scriptures, you're going to learn something about the Holy Ghost. Isn't that neat? You're going to learn something about the Holy Ghost. You're going to learn that the Holy Ghost was involved in the 40 days. In the wilderness. And what it was like for him and how effective he was in that. He says, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice. That means the voice of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Didn't say Paul said it. Isn't that bizarre? As the Holy Ghost said it. Today if you hear his voice. And it says, as the Holy Ghost says this. Paul's no longer talking. Paul is no longer talking at this point. As the Holy Ghost says, if you hear his voice today, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. Now, Paul's not writing. As the Holy Ghost says, your fathers tempted me. Proved me and saw my works 40 years. Saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Doesn't that sound like the Holy Ghost? Doesn't that sound like the Holy Ghost easily offended? You got to watch your emotions. You can have an emotional up and down roller coaster, but you need to watch your emotion because it's the emotion and the expression of the Holy Ghost you need to be concerned about. Amen. So many people get caught up in this, get caught up that they can't do this. You better stop worrying about yourself. And you better stay in the Word. We can get out there sometimes. We can lose it here. We can lose it there. But you better stay in the Word. You don't want to grieve the ghost. You might be mad, but don't let your emotions start to affect the Spirit of God. Now, we've learned several times. Aren't we learning some things about God? We've learned a couple weeks ago, six things that gross God out. Right there in the Scripture. Six things that gross God out. Now, God's teaching us how to flow with Him. Well, right here, you're learning something that the Holy Ghost said, look, I was there in the wilderness, and I don't believe it was a pleasant experience for the Holy Ghost. Because God wanted to do more than the wilderness. He said, look, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, and people go, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, and we get so excited. You're going to learn something here tonight. When they tempted me and they proved God, oh, you're going to learn something tonight, because we got people like that today, even in the faith movement. Oh, we quote scriptures. We quote scriptures all the time. Try me and test me and prove me and see will I not. You know, you better be careful. That's last result. They set up there. They got out there in the wilderness. It took them 40 years playing games with God. Why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they played games with God for 40 years. They tempted the Holy Ghost for 40 years. And this is the Holy Ghost. Am I out there, or do you see this in the Scripture right here? The Holy Ghost busts in Paul's letter, and he's starting to talk to us and saying, look here. The Holy Ghost is big. He is starting to reveal himself in this age in ways that we could never imagine. The Word is coming alive. The book is powerful. And God reveals. It's like an onion. He pulls back a layer. He pulls back a layer and says, I've never seen that before. And it keeps getting richer. It keeps getting richer. Voices are crying out of the Word of God. I believe in this next age, in this next season, we're going to hear the heart of the Father in the Word of God speaking to us. I believe we're going to hear Jesus crying out in certain scriptures. You'll be able to hear the Psalms. Even in the Psalms, David was a wild man. And Jesus interrupted David's Psalms, hit time frame, went through a time warp, and jumped on David's Psalm. We were talking today, we were reading the Psalms. And talking about they've broken my bones and split my garments and done all these things. David didn't have any bones broken and garments split. What happened? This is a powerful book. It's so powerful that God time warped himself and started to speak through David before it happened and said, look, this is what went down. It's a powerful book. It was written before it happened. Jesus started talking about what happened before it happened in David's song. Powerful book. But now we hear the Holy Ghost. See, we think, oh, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost. Everybody goes right to the second chapter of Acts. But he's all over the book. He's all over the book. He's saying, this is my time. Uh-oh, this is my time. This is my time. This is the age of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say dispensations. You know what? Before Jesus, it was Father dealing with us. The Father dealing with us. Then Jesus came down. Jesus was a rough cut. Our big brother Jesus, the Lord God in Jesus Christ, he was a rough cut. He came down for 30 years and ministered 3 years and got the job done, and he left. And now we've got the Holy Ghost. The power of God in demonstration. And now he's trying to teach us how to flow with him. And he's saying, look, I just didn't start in the second chapter of Acts. He said, look, I was there in the wilderness. He said, I was the agent in the wilderness, right here. They tested me and proved me in the wilderness. I was reading this in my spirit this morning, and you read and you can hear when you read. And all of a sudden, it was like a different voice in the middle of my reading. I went, wow, this is a powerful book. I read, as the Holy Ghost said, then all of a sudden on the inside, it changed up. They grieved me in the wilderness. Harden not your hearts. As in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. And I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into the rest. Now the book of Ezekiel, the Holy Ghost, they said this is how they enter into rest, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wants us to enter into his rest. Now, isn't that good? Now check out this. Y'all want to break it down? How does this affect us? Why did the Holy Ghost reveal this to us right now? How many are just excited to hear the Holy Ghost? How many are just excited to hear the Holy Ghost in Scripture? I get excited. I'm color-coding my Bible because there's so much stuff in there. And you know, there's assignments. And I had to put him in pink. See, whenever God manifests himself, whenever God speaks, whenever God manifests himself, I've been putting the man in purple. That used to be my color, but I gave it to him because he's really the king. And I put it in purple. And then I felt on the inside, the Holy Ghost said, no, I'm going to be revealing myself to you. You need a separate color. And here I'm reading in Hebrews, and the Holy Ghost jumps out in Hebrews. He said, that was me. You should be happy. That's your best friend. That's the one living on the inside of you right now. He said, I was back there. And now he's telling you, you're getting acquainted with him. Isn't that wonderful? We said when you get close to God, God reveals his nature and his character to you, and he tells you what he's all about. It's so funny that Jesus, when he came, they came and said, look, he said, when the world's reformed, I was there. I was there here. I was there here. I was there there. The Holy Ghost is going to let you know how rough he is. That he was there in the wilderness. And he's giving you a warning here. The Holy Ghost is bringing the scripture out to us in this day for this reason. Because guess what? Everything that goes around comes around. Whenever God wants to bring somebody or a group of people from one place to another place, he sends the word by Jesus, his son, and then he sends the Holy Ghost to lead them, direct them, and guide them. He entrusts them to the care of the Holy Ghost. Now guess what? The children of Israel were leaving bondage in Egypt and on their way to the promised land, and God assigned them the Holy Ghost, whom they didn't cooperate with in this final age. God is trying to get us from this kingdom, this earthly realm of bondage, over to the kingdom of God, and he sent the Holy Ghost to do it. Man, the Holy Ghost is telling you tonight, don't be like them. He said, because I went to deliver them and bring them out, and most of them died in the wilderness. See, there are a whole bunch of people living in the wilderness with abundance. You're going to learn that. See, there are a bunch of people, they try God, they pray, they use their faith to get this, and they get that, and they get this, and they still get it. You don't exercise your faith to prove God. That's testing God and trying God. You got to believe God from the get-go. You ask of him because you already believe. Amen. Many people have a mentality, if I can turn into a millionaire, then I'll really believe. If I'll get healed, I'll really believe. That's what they did. They got out there in the wilderness and God said, we'll play this game forever and you'll never get the best. I'll just give you tires here, a house over here, and a car over here, and that'll be your wilderness experience. How many have been in the wilderness, and it just goes from one need being met to the other need? He just doesn't want to meet your need like that. In trouble, need met. Amen. No water, need met. There's something better than that. Right. And see, people get to the point where the children of Israel say, let's just camp out right here. We got quail, we got manna falling. Come on, this is all right. Let's just stop right here. Well, the Holy Ghost didn't come so you could stop right there. He doesn't want to be in the wilderness with you just playing games with him. If you're really God, do this. If you're really God, do that. No, he said, I didn't come to do that. I'm not here to, I know I'm God. I don't need to prove it to you. I'm God because I said it and you need to believe it. Isn't it amazing? They tested me and proved me. What's wrong with proving somebody? He don't need to be proved. It's reality. It's closed. Case is closed. That's called faith. They believe without having seen. You better get your faith together before you see. Amen. Because if you're waiting to see a wicked and perverse generation seek signs and wonders, and they get them. And after they get them, they sit there and never go beyond. But those that got faith, we work the signs and wonders because we believe before we see them. I'm not waiting to see hands grow out and stretch out because I need to believe and trust in God. I already believe. And because I believe, those things happen. The Bible says signs and wonders follow those who believe. Don't wait to exercise your faith and get all together and get all spiritual. When you see the revival come, you need to have your stuff settled before the act. Holy Ghost. He's not coming down to put on a show so you can call him God. He was God before it started. He doesn't need your approval. Didn't Pharaoh try that mess? Didn't Pharaoh try that? Put on a big show? Did it do anything? No, his heart still didn't change. Drowned in the sea. You better learn to believe God and get your faith together and have it based at his word. And not by anything you see on the outside. You got to be like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him, because he's God. This is the one who does the works that's talking about this stuff. He said, they saw, isn't this amazing? They saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their hearts and have not known my ways. I'm going to break it down some more. We're going to get our faith together before we see. It shouldn't be like, oh, now we got it because we've seen this happen. We got that happen. No, we got it. No, we're getting it together because God is God. We just choose to believe. Abraham believed God before he saw anything. He believed God in his word. That's faith. Now listen. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith unto you today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Hard means rendered stubborn. You got a stubborn heart. See, your stubborn heart is not going to be changed by signs and wonders. Your stubborn heart's going to be changed as you yield to the Holy Ghost. And that's a personal decision. Pharaoh was stubborn. And signs and wonders had not the ability to change his stubborn heart. I'm not taking away your signs and wonders. You're about to see a whole bunch of stuff, but I don't want your faith to be based in the signs and wonders. I want you to be based in the word of God. Amen. How do you handle a stubborn heart? Believe God. What do you need to do to believe God? Just do it. Anybody ever thought what provocation means? In the day of provocation. That's what the Holy Ghost calls the wilderness experience. Provocation. In the day of provocation. And we get religious. And we think it was from mankind's experience. Provocation. Their provocation. What they had to deal with. No, that's what the Holy Ghost calls it from his perspective. Provocation. Could you say provoke? I looked at the word provocation. It says in the day of irritation. It says in the day of irritation. The Holy Ghost says those 40 days were 40 days where they irritated the Holy Ghost. The whole time he wanted to bring them out, and he wanted them to get out because it was irritating them having them there in the wilderness. Griping, complaining, murmuring, not believing God, not trusting God. Amen. Irritating the Holy Ghost. And they're thinking, me. I need. I want. And they think, you need to do this for me. He said, no, you're irritating me. Believe me. Trust me. Don't irritate me. Holy Ghost told, it's here in Scripture. Those 40 years were very irritating to the Holy Ghost. It's right here in Scripture. Amen. Where they grieved me. God is amazing, isn't it? God the Father told us six things that gross him out, and then the Holy Ghost says, now that's what irritates me. I guess they all just, I just sat down at coffee talking. God's just talking. I can't stand that lying, that this stuff right here, that gets me. Then the Holy Ghost says, well, since everybody's throwing their inner two cents, well, my two cents is, look, you remember the wilderness experience where they irritated me? telling you this because he wants to delight in you, that he might bless you and that it might do well with you. How many of you would love to have a mate you live with and that person couldn't stand you and you just did something, you thought they loved it? It was a little game you did where you just walked to them and bent their nose up over their eyelid. And they thought that was so cute. They just love it when I do that because that person's afraid to tell you, oh, they love it when I do that. How many had people do irritating things and they think you like that irritating thing? Well, the Holy Ghost tells you. God will tell you, don't do that anymore. It irks me. God is a person. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We are preaching Jesus Christ. We're preaching God. We're exposing God for who he is. He's a person. Not just jellyfish up in heaven that you can do whatever you want, when you want, how you want, never going to affect him whatsoever. Tell it to Sodom and Gomorrah. Tell that to Herod, who was stealing his glory. Amen. We think God's up in heaven like a little French poodle that we throw hoops and he jumps through and we say, jump, Holy Ghost, jump. Through the hoop, through the hoop. How would you like to have a gardener working in your house and all of a sudden he's working out in the yard and decides to come in your house with that old muddy clothes on, you don't even know him, and just lay all over your white furniture, they kick his shoes off, pick his toes, amen, and expect you not to say anything. And expect you not to say anything. Well, that's how we are with God. We come into his kingdom, his life, his house, his world that he created and put you in it so you could do what you're supposed to do. You were created to give him praise and then you go do whatever you feel like doing. Expect him not to say something. And then the Holy Ghost comes up and says, look, I get grieved. And why does the Holy Ghost get grieved? The Holy Ghost get grieved because we irk him. Provocation. Holy Ghost will come into a meeting and he's ready to move, ready to do great things, ready to do signs and wonders. And he says, look, they are irking me. That attitude is irking me. I can't stay. I'm grieved. See, but the Holy Ghost is explaining this to us because he wants to hang around a little bit longer. Isn't that wonderful? Temptation. That temptation. This is what irked the Holy Ghost and what irked God. And that you're not going to do that this year. You're just not going to do it. That's not faith. That's stupidity. Putting to proof. Experiment. Look at that word. It says putting to proof or experimenting. Trying it out. I'm just going to try it out. I'm just going to try it out. God don't play that stuff. You got to make up in your mind. You're going to do something. You need to make a choice and a decision. Don't try it out. You either cut the contract. It's either black or white with God. Hot nor cold. You know what lukewarm is? Trying it out. In between decision. Bible says he that wavers is like a man tossed. Don't let that person think he's going to get anything from God. Don't try it. Do it. Don't try to grab it. Grab it. Can't you see that in Jesus when he ministered? People go up to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing. If you're willing. And he just, you know, if you're willing. Come on now. He either did it or he didn't do it. And that's how we need to be with our faith. Get out of that stuff. Well, I'm going to try this out a little bit longer. Amen. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. People get up there like Gideon. We see little Gideon's story where he put out a fleece here, put a fleece out there. You better learn to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Gideon didn't have the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost, silly. Amen. He had to use a fleece. He didn't have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of him that the Holy Ghost could tell him where to go. Amen. You better pick up the rags out in the back of your yard and learn to read your Bible and follow the voice of the Holy Ghost. You hear all kind of crazy stuff. You just need to make up your mind to do it. You know what? Whenever God says do it quickly. Mary learned that. Mary said, look, whatever he tells you to do when he wanted to work, when they wanted Jesus to work a miracle, they said, whatever he tells you to do it right away. That's what I like about God. That's what I like about God. That's the way he moves. That's called faith. Isn't that wonderful? Tell it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when he had to go in the fiery furnace. That's faith. That's faith. It takes the thing away. We don't have to question it. We hear God and we close our eyes and walk. What do we do tomorrow? Walk. We don't go by our own understanding. We go by the Word. It makes things so much easier. That other stuff's His problem. And it'll get you out. You will get tested and tried. How many of you stepped out in faith and circumstances got really crazy and you just said, good Lord, what is this? Amen. And then all of a sudden you get yourself caught up in trying to figure it out and try it out, pull it out of God's realm and put it into your realm, in the mental realm. No, don't do that anymore. Keep going in the Word. If it crashes, that's God's fault. That's God's problem. And the only time He stops taking care of it is when I start taking care of it. When I stop to think about it, He says, well, you got it. So I want to get out of it. I want to get out of it. I'm not getting in the decision tent with God. Amen? He makes the decision. I say yes and walk. That's how you get out. We've been in the wilderness too long. Trust God and walk. Stop thinking about it. Stop complaining about it. Stop worrying about it and walk. If it looked like it's going to crash, let it crash. If the Red Sea is in front of you and Pharaoh's behind you with his army, guess what? What are you going to do? Think about it. Well, it's a sea there that you're going to drown in. And Pharaoh's over there. Where you don't got nowhere, nothing to do. Either way, you're going to die. So walk. Even if you're going to die, walk. At least you're going to walk, die, believe in God. But you're not going to die believing God. But you got to be willing to die believing God. Hallelujah. You got to be willing to go under at His word. Because when it looks like you're going down, you are going up. The cross didn't look pretty good to Jesus. He said, Lord, if this cup could pass me by, let it go by. He said, look, you're going to inherit all the world. All these things are going to be yours. You're the son, and you're going to get all this other stuff. And then He goes down the earth, and what is it? A cross? And hell? Nevertheless, at your word, Father, I'm going to do it. I don't care if it looks like a cross. I'm just going to do it. I don't care if it looks like I'm going to be broke. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey God no matter what. The devil will get us off. See, isn't it amazing that Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days? And the devil came to him and said, look, eat this. Eat this bread. No, he had to obey God. He had to obey God. Whether it feels good or not, obey God. Everything God tells you to do is not going to feel good. There's going to be an element of faith in it. We do learn through some sort of suffering. And what kind of suffering do we suffer? We suffer at the word of God. What? Our flesh suffers. Our flesh will suffer this. You will suffer if you put your head into obeying God. It will be a tormenting thing for you because you can't figure Him out. It'll be a stressful walk. The only suffering that we're to face is when you see an army in front of you and you still got to walk at His word. That's some suffering. The suffering is obeying God. And there are some things that God's told you to do, and in that thing there is some suffering. But what is this suffering? You're having to believe. Hope when there is no hope. And you won't. But that's not really suffering when you find out that you always win. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Yeah, you're going to have to learn to walk through fire. I ain't going to lie to you. You're going to have to learn to walk through fire, but you'll never get burnt. You're no different. You're no different. He's going to teach you something. You never know that fire won't burn you until you have to walk through it. I was grieved with that generation. Vexed. Because He's trying to teach them to walk at their word no matter what they see. To obey Him and trust Him. That's all He was after. God's trying to train you. So He says, do this, do that, and you just do it. And we say, no, make it stop raining and I'll do it. No, you do it because I told you to do it. make this one behave and I'll do it. No, I told you to do it. Do it. Isn't that good? Poke somebody and say, time to grow up. Because when we grow up, we go up. Isn't that a release? You'll find yourself shouting in the midst of your struggle. Don't be afraid. Shout, for God has given you the victory. It's going to be all right. You're obeying God, believing God. And nobody's ever messed up believing God. That's how you get out of the wilderness. How many are glad we're learning to get out of the wilderness? See, the Holy Ghost is helping us get out. And we grieve the Holy Ghost is trying to lead us out by acting certain ways. You remember that thing, I was grieved with that generation. And saying they do always in their heart. This is what the Holy Ghost said. They always do in their heart. Isn't this great, the Holy Ghost talking to us? How many of you like the Holy Ghost? How many of you meeting the Holy Ghost tonight? And it's neat hearing from him. Isn't this neat?
Yes.
Can you hear him?
Yes.
Isn't he cool? Some of you are in trouble because you found out the Holy Ghost can talk. You expect him some dove. Tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet. Laugh. Tweet, 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 tweet. Roll. And the dove jumps in the room and goes, they irked me. They irritated me. And I swore in my wrath. What? Holy Ghost swore in the wrath. The dove just said, look, I swore in my wrath. They are not going to enter into my rest. Tweet, tweet. You better stop flying, looking for them birds, amen, and hear the voice of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, in their hearts. There's a revy in that. In their hearts. This is where they messed up. Where does the Holy Ghost lead us from? He leads us from our spirit. And he said, they in their heart. What? He said, I can't lead them because they stay in their flesh and can't. They from their heart. It says they wander from their heart. The word means to wander from. To wander from. They stray from their own heart where the Holy Ghost couldn't lead them and direct them. And there are so many people that have from their heart and they're in the wilderness. Amen. And the direction is going to come from their spirit and come from their heart. And they're all in the flesh, all in their head, irking the Holy Ghost. And he's trying to, he said, no, you they have erred from their heart. And if you've gotten to the point to where you've erred from your heart, to where you can no longer be led by the spirit on the inside. And you know what? Your emotions is not necessarily your spirit, people. You got to follow your inside no matter what. You've got to follow the spirit within. Whether you're mad, glad, happy, or sad, follow the inside of your heart. And they missed it because they erred from their heart. Because on the outside it said, look, I'm hungry. On the outside it said, we come out here to die. On the outside they could hear the army on the other side. They could hear all the mother whining people around the tent on the outside. But they weren't listening to the inside. God out there is trying to signify. Don't you know on the inside you can't hear things? When the storm is raging, go to the secret place, to the prayer closet, the inside. If it's raining outside, go on the inside. Don't err from your heart. Don't stray from your heart. How many of you come outside in the rain? You're outside in the rain. If you can feel the pain, you're in control, stressed out, anxious, worried about this. You're outside of your heart. Your heart's not afraid because you got the heart of God. It's all right on the inside. You know what? You got peace already. You don't even know it. See, when we started out this morning, we said, how y'all doing? Y'all doing really good? I said, well, don't you know on the inside of you there's a party going on? You're just not there. He's already given you the victory on the inside. Open the door and get back in. You're not going to do anything outside of your spirit, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Don't err from your heart. Wander or be out of the way. If you're outside of your heart, outside of the spirit where there's peace, you're off track. You'll never find your way out. Your flesh is blind. Stop signifying. You met nosy people? That show was Bewitched. Some of you used to watch Bewitched before you got saved. And there was that neighbor that lived across the street, and everything that happened, she would always peek in out the door. Mrs. Kravitz. And she'd always look out. And she was always stressed out by what was going on in somebody else's house because she was always looking outside. Close the door. It said, because they have not known my way. They have not known my way. And the Holy Ghost got grieved because they did several things that just tick him off. It's right here. Isn't it clear? They came outside of their heart. Can you see it? Can you visualize that right now? They opened up the spirit and got out of the spirit, came outside of their heart, and started talking to the Holy Ghost who was in charge. I'm hungry. I'm this. I'm you. Every once in a while, God wants to push you inside and say, shut up. That's enough. I've got this under control. Rest. The rest wherein I called you to. Take a break. Stay inside. Don't come out. Stay inside. It's a rough outside anyhow. I don't want to be out there. Don't you know it's rough outside? These are not the days to be outside. Good Lord. Why would you want to come out? Stay in. The door's not locked. You can go back in. But it takes faith to go in. The only reason why you're outside is because you think that you can do something about it. God's got it all taken care of. Faith. They did not know my way. Remember we said that God doesn't want you to test him or try to prove him? He said they did not resolve in their understanding. That's what that know my way means. Come to settle it. When it says know my way, that means settle it. Settle it once and for all. And not bring it up every time something happens. You forsaken me. You might have forgotten. Tell them to go inside. Amen. Holy Ghost said they did not know my way. Holy Ghost said they did not resolve on the inside. That God's got it all under control. Settle. Before you see it, settle. It's worked out. Settle. God is faithful. Settle. It's getting real close. No, it's settled. It's all over. Remember Lazarus? Died. Lord, if you hadn't been there, this wouldn't happen. No, it was settled. Settle it. Settle it. Every circumstance you got, anything you're dealing with, look, settle it. It's taken care of. God is in control, and don't pick it up again. Resolve it. Know his way. What is his way? He doesn't lie, and he always comes through. Know his way. Not your way. His way. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost in anything. He's successful in everything he does. Know his way and his record. Resolve it and settle it. How many can live in that fashion? Amen. Now think about this. Everything you're dealing with right now in your life, every single ass problem, settle it right now and go inside and don't you come out anymore. So when the devil comes at you, no, it's settled. It's settled. He said, I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. That's when you grieve the Holy Ghost to the point where you're not going to be able to have. You ever seen people that stuff come up, they can never get peace? Well, the wrath of the Holy Ghost, he's not going to destroy you and consume you. The wrath of the Holy Ghost is you're not going to be able to enter into the rest of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you're not going to go inside where he's going to try to speak to you and minister to you. He's not going to minister to you outside. He's going to take you inside where you can talk to your spirit. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You know what that evil heart of unbelief is? This is the Holy Ghost talking to you, not Paul. Holy Ghost. Unless there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, picking up stuff that's already settled, of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now this is how we can get over. How many of you want to really get over?
Amen.
Paul takes it over at this point. Can you see this? Now look at your Bible. Paul picks back up again. That spirit's lifted. I believe that prophetic thing lifted from Paul at this point. And then Paul starts talking again. And Paul says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You have to exhort one another to stay inside. You know what exhort means? Call. Exhort means to call. The word exhort means to call. To beseech or to pray or to call. Say the exhorters. You know what exhorters do? How many have heard of to give exhortations, to exhort people? Exhort means, hey, I'm going to exhort you. Come in, come in, come on, come on, get over here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm exhorting you inside. You see somebody that's outside, all stressed out in the flesh, outside, and just, you know they're outside of their spirit at that point. Don't beat them up. Don't crush them. Don't, you know what you do? Open the door up a little bit and say, come on in. Come on in. Exhort them. Exhort means to call in and to comfort. Isn't that different? How many of you thought it meant to lift up? No, that means to exalt. Exhort means, come on. I exhort you. I encourage you, and I call you to come where I'm at. Means to beseech, call for, comfort, desire, or entreat, or pray. Tonight, I exhort you, come on, to call, an exhortation to call.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good?
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Why don't you stand up?
We bless your holy name. Bless you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.